flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, so Luke played the J.B. Bickerstaff audio. You've heard it, where he says, you got to be able to defend yourself. Some things were said. John, look, I could be the whiny radio host that says, you can't do that. You played, you dealt with the trash talk. Where are you at with what Isaiah Stewart did?
I never heard anything that would make you lose your cool like that. And now in football, it's a little bit different, right? Because it's a violent sport and you can take matters into your own hands between the whistles. Now, does it affect the course of a play? Sure. And that's the entire goal of trash talk, is to get you out of your game, get you distracted so you're thinking more of me than what you're supposed to be doing. And mission accomplished last night with Isaiah Stewart. He was more concerned about taking a shot at an opponent, which at its worst is going to probably cause him free throws.
Yeah.
It's points. At worst, you're going to get ejected, which he did.
Then you're
and
not
now,
playing.
Now you're not playing. You're not even on the court for your team.
People love Isaiah Stewart because he feels like a throwback player. He feels like a guy who could have played with Mahorn and Lambeer and Dumars. Could have fit in right with the Bad Boys. What Isaiah Stewart did last night was not tough. It was weak. It was mentally weak. He let someone get under his skin. And I can understand Bickerstaff fighting and defending his players, but Isaiah Stewart even acknowledged after the game he shouldn't have done it. So I'm not really sure what was said. I'm not really sure it matters. Right? I mean, John, people are going to try to get under your skin in the nature of competition, in the trenches, in physical spots, in the post. Guys are going to try to get under your skin. And Isaiah Stewart said after the game, a lot of talk, a lot of words. I slipped up. I fell for the trap. I let my teammates down. He acknowledges it. You can't be doing that stuff.
No, and it's a perfect response. Take responsibility for what happened, and then, you know, identify what it cost. It cost your team. And now, did it ultimately cost them the game? Probably not. They were not going to win that game anyway, if he was on the floor or not. But it does change the course of the events. And here's where he's really going to have to be hyper aware. They could face the Pacers in the playoffs. Now, if you do something like that, and I mean, what is the NBA? If you're a repeat offender and you do something like that on national TV, are you going to be suspended not one game, but maybe two?
And you build a reputation. It doesn't help him. It doesn't help the team.
And yeah, you build a reputation. Are officials now going to be looking to control the game even more so that something doesn't get out of hand and every ticky-tack foul that you have is going to be called?
Larry Bird was a big trash talker. Michael Jordan was a big trash talker. You know what I mean? Like, some of that is just part of the league. I'm sure there are obviously things that could cross personal lines. You're talking about someone's wife, kids, mom. There's stuff racially that's clearly not okay, but is the response to get yourself tossed out of the game? That doesn't do you any good.
No, because, I mean, what are you going to tell the official? Well, this is what he said to me. Oh, okay. Well it was justified.
Give him a couple more punches. Like, I mean, you can't allow it.
Yeah. It's nothing good can come of it. And every time somebody hits the button, it's, you know, hey, other opponents are going to say, what did you say to him?
Right.
You got him so riled up. Yeah. And now you're just going to get another version of it next time.
Despite what Bickerstaff said, and I get why he said it, I don't think it's justified what he did. And enough's enough. Yeah, I think people, remember he went after LeBron, he was all bloody, and that's our guy.
Yeah.
Just don't have a boil over.
No, you can't. But now you've got to find a way to use, you know, create a superpower. Find a way to
harness it.
Not allow that to affect you, or harness it so that it ups the way that you play. Make them pay by playing better.
Can you share anything that anybody ever said to you?
I mean, not on air. Okay. I mean, that would be so edited, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't mean anything.
<be neutered.
laughs> Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there are times where, you know, like when a free agent comes to your team, and it was somebody that was on maybe a division opponent. Za'Darius Smith, I'm sure he's got some things that he knows about some of the Green Bay Packers or the Minnesota Vikings because he was there, lived with them day in, day out. And, you know, every once in a while you go to a guy like that and say, hey, what gets under their skin? Oh, you know, say this. Or, you know, are they going through something in their life? You know, I mean, you want to touch on a divorce or something. And then all of a sudden, hey, that's, trust me, there's a lot of things that will strike up some emotion, but the whole goal is to get them out of their game, especially if you're playing against a really good player. If I can get that individual so focused on me, now I can sell a pass rush, and all of a sudden we hit you with a draw.
I think it's effective. Like, the Pacers are better than the Pistons as it is, but they also get under their skin. Like, yeah. Tyrese Halliburton is a yapper. And he did the Beasley shimmy after a shot in the game, like clearly going at the Pistons, rubbing it in, picking the wound, trying to get them to do the things that they did, which is lose their composure. I mean, they were not a poised team last night.
And it's twofold. Like, why does he do that, right? Mostly it's just to get under your skin.
Yeah.
But the Pacers fans love it.
It fires them up.
It's another way to endear yourself to your own fans.
Ticket text 248-539-9797. Some of your thoughts on what took place last night between the Pistons and the Pacers. This rivalry that's really starting to pick up now. Ticket texter says that they're done with Isaiah Stewart.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They have no time for it. It says, I'm so over Isaiah Stewart. We overpaid to draft him. We owe our first round pick this year. Plus, because we took him, he brings zero production most games. He's constantly trying to act like Rick Mahorn in the 80s. That doesn't work anymore. He says flagrant fouls will never catch it. We'll catch him every time. He's costing us points, free throws, and sometimes thrown out of games. He's useless, and then he acts like he did nothing wrong. He acted like a fool when he left the court last night, signed Brian.
Those things aren't wrong. I don't necessarily know that I'm done with him.
I'm not done with him either.
He does need to modify how he reacts in certain moments. And, you know, it's not like it happens every night, but if it happens, I mean, if it happens once, it's too many.
You know, Rasheed got away with it back in the day because he was a borderline superstar. He was an all-star.
Yeah.
When he came here from Portland, he was one of the best players in the game there for a short window. You're not Rasheed. Like, you can't be doing this
right
because of who you are, too. That's the thing. I mean, Draymond got put up with because he is a star.
Mm.
And to me, I thought Luke Sloan asked a fascinating question to me before the show. Is he just a guy?
Stewart?
Yeah.
He's just a guy. And I think there's a little bit of a love affair in this town because he's tough.
Rugged.
beef stew.
Well, sure.
You know, and you got to be careful to guard yourself on that stuff. Like, at some point, you can just find this guy somewhere else. By the way, aren't they paying him $64 million on this contract?
Yep. That's Weaver. It's not Langdon, but yeah, right, we're dealing with it here.
Well, and it's, okay, if you're going down the whole star path, and everybody wants to compare, well, he could have played with the Bad Boys. Well, the Bad Boys were really good. I mean, we love the Pistons, and we love that they're playing better, but are they really good?
No.
No, so they're not going to get any calls. They're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. They're not going to get any of that stuff, and it's only going to pile on if you keep doing these things.
Yeah, no, when you're a 500 team, every win counts here and stuff, and you can't doing
throwing stuff
like
away.
This.
No.
You know? No, and I mean, the reality, Isaiah Stewart, they you're right, they're paying him what they're paying him. He's not a starter on this team. He's not shooting the three well. He's an undersized center. His whole thing is effort and energy off the bench. He's overpaid for that role. Call it what it is. And then if effort and energy is your thing, you can't have it boil over because then you're not even doing that right.
I mean, you go to the going to work Pistons. What is he, a better version of Jason Maxiel?
Yeah. Oh, I've said that before.
Yeah, I thought you did. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just whatever. Look,
Jason Maxiel was one of the, he's undersized, but he was, you know, rebounds and defense. And but
I would say when it comes to the trash talking, look, they know he's a target and he can be triggered. But I do think almost anybody can be triggered if the trash talk goes to a certain point. Well, like, I don't know, like, John, like, how ruthless people can really be. Like, do they get that personal? I know you mentioned divorce, but there's even lines that you don't know what's going on in somebody's life. You don't know if they have a kid issue. And do people go there? Like, if a kid has a health issue or something? I mean,
you wouldn't do that. No. But it's every competitor is looking for an edge. And they're looking to get under your skin. And it's there are lines that, yeah, you don't cross as a human being. And you're not going to cross those lines.
Well, like, let's say
there's some that you would walk right up to.
It's a phrase I can't use, but we can sort of go down that. Like, if somebody had dated somebody and now you were with them.
Oh, I'd use it all.
Oh!
Why not?
That's awesome. Do you use that to stray hand?
I've never been with his wife.
Well, I know that, but still.
Thank you for clarifying.
Somebody
John.
Else. You could have used somebody else. Right. Like, you're before the game. Part of your game plan is who dated Strahan's wife before Strahan?
Are you Googling this stuff?
No. I'm not. I'm not going down that road.
What dirt can you give me?
Yeah. No. More of this comes up in just conversation in the locker room. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, you know, something hits. You're like, well, I think I might be able to use that during a game.
Anyway, what did you guys make of it? Isaiah Stewart, where are we at with this guy? Because I know he has a special place, a soft spot we have for him because of the physicality. But when it boils over like that, and even he admits it, I can't do that. Where are you at? Was it justified? Bickerstaff went to his defense. What about you guys? We'll get to the Tigers at 8:35. They added somebody. Not that guy. 97.1.
Hey, the FanDuel Kick of Destiny is back, and this time it's every Manning for himself. This Super Bowl, two legends will take the field in a sudden-death field goal showdown. That's Peyton versus Eli, and it's live from New Orleans. One kick to claim the ultimate family bragging rights. Who will rise to the moment? Pick your winner now in the FanDuel app, and if you back the right brother, you're going to earn a share of $10 million in bonus bets. It's the FanDuel Kick of Destiny 3. Make your free pick, and don't forget to tune in to watch the showdown live during the Super Bowl 59 pregame show on Fox at 3 p.m. Eastern. May the best Manning win. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit and bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. Must be 21 or over in present Michigan. No purchase necessary. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Sink of Truth podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So if people say words you don't like, you should be able to get yourself ejected and hurt your team. Is that what I just heard?
Yeah.
Because there's no way to justify what Isaiah Stewart did. Even he didn't justify it after the game. He goes, I screwed up. I fell into the trap. I let them get to me. The Pacers get under the Pistons' skin.
Yeah.
It's as big a reason this is a rivalry as any. And the Pistons got to be mentally tougher. Isaiah Stewart has to be mentally tougher. You want to be the tough guy on the team? Sometimes that means biting your tongue and blocking the shot on the other end of the floor. And he's a very good rim protector, but he can't be this guy that leads the league in technical fouls. He can't be this guy that gets himself tossed from multiple games. He can't let it boil over like that. That's part of being a tough guy, is being mentally tough.
It is. And I mean, again, I don't know what was said. There's not a lot, I think, that is actually going to be said in competition that would warrant justification of this. Now, if it's something that's said from the crowd, obviously you don't want to be going in the crowd. We've seen that between the Pacers and the Pistons before. But you don't, I just don't understand what it is that would be said that would trigger this for your head coach to say, I'm good with that.
Well, that's why I deferred to you. It's easy for me to say, as you know,
I don't know that there's anything
guy.
I could come back to the sideline and say, hey, you know, coach says, why did you have that fight? Why'd you get kicked out? Well, he told this to me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I don't know what that would possibly be.
Right. No, it's one thing if I go, Isaiah Stewart's not tough. I'm me. If you back it up and go, hey, he's got to be better than that, I think that holds a little more water.
Well, he does. And here's the thing is, something was said, because if you get a chance to watch it, well before he decided to take the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was something that he was, you know, he had been thinking about, if I turn around and he's anywhere near me, I'm gonna knock him out.
Yeah.
It was premeditated
a little bit. He had to chew on it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then said, you know what, F it.
It was something that was festering, and all of a sudden he decided, I can't take any more, and here we go.
Let's get to the phones. Because, again, I know Stewart, Beef Stew, we love him. He's one of these cult guys in Detroit because he plays tough. Let's get to Keith in Ann Arbor. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I feel like the problem is, like you said, one, he's getting paid for the position he's in. It's not right. At the beginning of the season, I didn't think it was going to be too much of a problem because I didn't expect us to be in the situation we're in as far as the East goes. But now that we're, you know, competing and he's getting these stupid little ejections, it's really starting to bother me. I think I was at the Milwaukee game earlier this year and he was thrown out as well, like early in the game. And it's just, you're right, the city loves him, but we got to... Our team's in a different situation, different position we haven't been in years. Well, let's capitalize. Let's sit on our hands and do what we're supposed to, act like adults and be athletes, not try to be gangsters, you know. But that's just how I feel. He contributes. I love the energy, but it's not worth it. You can't be thrown out of every other game you play, man.
You got to play with the chip on your shoulder. I think he brings that. It can't hurt the team.
Right. I mean, you can play with a chip on your shoulder, use it to your advantage, and maybe it causes you a personal foul at some point.
Yeah, that's okay.
But not an ejection.
Hey, use them. They give you six.
Or
use them.
Yeah, repeatedly.
But you can't be getting flagrant twos and letting it boil over. And again, the point about where he was, they gave him the extension. He actually shot three decent last year, better than decent. 38% is very good for a big. This year, he's only playing 20 minutes a night. Down from 30 a year ago. He's shooting 24% from three. And I get it. They're not asking him to do the same thing. But if you're 6'8 and you don't shoot the three and you're only playing 20 minutes a night.
What's the spot for you?
I mean, if you're getting paid almost $1 million a minute, it's probably not a great contract.
No.
So then you do have to be extraordinary in these areas where you are the tough guy, where you are the rebounder, where you are the rim protector, and you are not a detriment to the roster. Let's get to Chris on a cell. Chris, you're next up.
Hey, guys. I think, you know, you can't let that kind of stuff, in my opinion, go unchecked. And I'd like to see the team lean into the physicality a little bit more. I'm not calling for flagrant twos, but, you know, being physical, not only does it have a mental toll on the other team, it has a physical toll on the other team. All of a sudden, they don't want to run. So what I would do, I would say, hey, Denise Jenkins, you're the last guard on the team. You're starting. Your assignment is Tyrese Halliburton. You have six fouls to give. He needs to be on the floor six times in the first half. Every time he's marked up on Cade, all right, we're running screens. If he's going to try and fight through the screen, he needs to be on the floor six times. And the goal should be he needs to pick himself up off the floor 20 times or more before the end of the game. There needs to be another, like, psychological edge where every time the Pacers have to come to Detroit or the Pistons go to Indiana, they need to think, oh, gosh, these guys again. I better gear up, right? And now they're out of their element. And then the fourth quarter, Tyrese isn't going to be shooting. He's not going to be running. He's not going to want to drive the lane because he knows I'm going to have to take some hits, and I'm soft. I don't want to do that.
You won't be shimmying, to your point.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful. I'm going to put one of the worst guys on the team out there for major minutes just to draw fouls.
Right.
It doesn't seem like a winning strategy either.
No.
You just got to play tough. You got to play physical. You got to do it within the rules. You know who was great at that? The going to work Pistons.
Yeah.
That team was phenomenal at just being pests and being tough and just making it miserable for the other team. And yeah, they'd pick up some fouls along the way, but they weren't getting tossed like this.
No. I mean, the fouls can be the cost of doing business.
Yes.
You know, setting the tone for the game.
Absolutely.
But within, breaking the rules within the rules.
There you go. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, unfortunately, there are not believed to be any survivors following that tragic midair collision between an American Airlines flight and a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter. I think we all knew it this morning by the looks of everything, but you don't really want to admit it until you really hear it. And that's what they're saying. After the aircrafts crashed into the Potomac, rescuers have now switched from a rescue operation to a recovery operation. So far, 28 bodies have been pulled from the frigid river, and officials are saying they are confident they can recover all the bodies. That includes 64 people who were on the plane, three on the helicopter. Everything is still under investigation, right? Like, it sounds like operations were as normal. The plane was flying as normal. The helicopter was. The CEO of American Airlines did release a statement saying that at this time, they don't know why the military aircraft came into the path of their plane. Almost kind of placing blame that we were doing everything right. Why was this helicopter there? But it looks like, so far, both seem to be doing everything as usual, right? Like, there's no, like, miscommunication. So,
yeah,
we don't know yet.
Something went
Everything
wrong.
Is still under investigation. Something majorly went wrong, and it is devastating. So I'll keep you updated on that as the rest of the morning unfolds.
Yeah.
At least 10 Super Bowl commercials this year have sold for a record $8 million. And after spending all of that money, companies still think that it is better to release them early instead of, you know, surprising everyone during the Super Bowl. That's one of the things that gets me. It's like, I don't want to see them now. Like, I want to sit down and actually stay around and watch the commercials during the Super Bowl. But there are a few that have leaked. There's one with Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan, where they recreate the infamous diner scene from When Harry Met Sally.
This,
I love that movie. So that's out there doing. That's an ad for Hellman's Mayo.
Right.
Then there is an Angel Soft toilet paper commercial that's going to be aired during halftime or like right before halftime. About, obviously, it's the best time to take a potty break. And then there's another ad for Twix featuring the Ying Yang twins that's been released. So they're out there, but man, a lot of money for those commercials. Now, speaking of Super Bowl commercials, there's a local bar, this small town bar in Monroe County, that actually has a cameo in a Budweiser commercial that's set to air during the Super Bowl. So in the next, less than 2 weeks, we're going to see this popular Carlton Hotel Bar. It's in this quaint little downtown of Carlton that will be seen by more than 120 million people. But what's crazy is that this bar didn't even know they were going to get this. I mean, when I say cameo, it's like a 2 second, 3 second cameo, right? It's like an aerial view, an aerial shot of this bar. The owner of the bar didn't even realize that the bar was featured until one of the customers saw the commercial and notified them, which is pretty cool. They're excited about it. They said that this bar, they feel like it's like a Cheers. Like when you go in the bar, everybody knows your name. Like everybody knows everybody at this bar. And
I won't.
We're
trying
that,
hard.
But, I don't know. Pretty cool. So keep your eye out for that. More Super Bowl stories. Some people believe that the Super Bowl could deliver the ultimate fairy tale ending.
Oh, no.
They do.
Oh,
some
no.
Some people believe that
I haven't
if
seen
the Chiefs
this.
Win,
oh, no.
Travis Kelce could get down on one knee and propose to Taylor Swift, right? And now you can bet on it.
Of course you can.
Because why not?
What are
right?
the odds?
Right. So FanDuel is
he better make sure
odds.
He clears it with her people.
There is no way he is going to propose on the field to Taylor Swift.
There's what do you mean no way?
Oh, there's
no
100%
way.
A way.
Well, there's a way. It's not going to, of course, anybody could, he's got to win first. He's not going to do it if they lose, clearly. But also, there's no.
Because it's not about her at that point. It's about
I keep
him.
Saying there's no way. Of course there is a way.
Could
there,
it be
I cannot believe that this is what she would want.
Prearranged, and she already knows, and it's scripted.
She would not allow that. No, she does not
she
want to get engaged to on the football
that
field.
To happen.
No.
I don't know. She seems like a pretty big football fan now. Maybe she would want that.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't. This is not going to happen. And if it does, it would be the biggest shock of the night.
Travis, what could be more romantic? The confetti's falling.
More than a 3-time Super Bowl champ that's never happened in history?
She's not getting engaged on Super Bowl. She's not. It's not going to happen. But if you want to bet on it, go for it. Put your money down on it.
Felt like a challenge to me. All right, that's Heather with the news. Coming up next, the Tigers signed someone, another one of these one-year deals. Actually, pretty good addition, but it's not the guy we want to hear about. It's 97.1.
Hey, are you looking to get stronger this year? Well, this is the year. Dollar down, $15 a month gets you into Planet Fitness. It's the judgment-free zone. They've got a lot of great new equipment. They're always updating every single gym. They keep them squeaky clean. They offer so much. And if you like variety in your workouts, they've got free weights, cable tower, Smith machines, upper and lower body strength machines, treadmills, Stairmasters, recumbent bikes. We all hear Stoney talk about the recumbent bikes. He loves those. And it's, like I mentioned, $1 down, $15 a month. If you want to upgrade, they've got the Black Card membership where you've got access to the Black Card Spa. You have access to over 2,600 clubs nationwide, 50 here in Detroit, 15 in Grand Rapids, 6 in Toledo, and you have access to every single one of them. And here is one of the best parts about it is you can bring a guest free at any time. That's with the Black Card membership. With every membership, you get free fitness training from knowledgeable trainers that are just 100% focused on you. To sign up, you got to be 18 years old or older to enroll. Or if you're 13 to 17 years old, you can take mom and dad with you or a guardian. Hours, amenities, and offers vary by club. Check out planetfitness.com or stop by your local club for more information. Find your nearest club and join today in club, online, or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet, Planet Fitness.
So I'm driving around yesterday, and I hear Doug Karsh tell us, guys, the Tigers have made a signing.
Oh, you're thinking, here we go.
Tell me, Doug.
Breaking news right after we leave.
Uh-huh, per usual.
Uh-huh.
Tell me, Alex Bregman. No, at least not yet. John, they bulk up the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Tommy Canley comes over from the Yankees. Good player, one-year deal. Sensing a theme here. A lot of one-year deals.
Yeah, that's kind of been the offseason, right? It's adding, but not anything in any long-term. And it's not adding anything of huge impact.
Like, the bullpen matters, and we know Hinch and Fetter will manage this staff. Canley, all the numbers look good, right? ERA in the twos, plus changeup, strikeouts, ground balls.
Injury.
Well, there is that.
That's the one downside. I always hate to bring up the downside, but he has missed a couple of months every year since 2020 when he had his Tommy John. Are they able to maximize what he can be throughout the course of the year without, whether it's overuse or strained use, whatever is causing that injury? Can Chris Fetter, this coaching staff, pitching staff, prevent that from happening and get more out of him here in this year?
Scott Harris spoke yesterday and talked about the addition, but also talked about the fact that there's more work to do. Did someone say lineup?
Well,
maybe a right-handed bat who plays third base, who previously played for A.J. Hinch, who owns the zone in a way that Scott Harris may appreciate.
All right, well, so, I mean, thanks for doing your job. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be looking every single day to try and make this team better in the offseason. And he nailed all the different ways that you could do it. Free agency and trades.
Waivers, too.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing he didn't bring up was, hey, we could continue to develop our young players and develop this core. I've been very measured and very patient, much more than a lot of people, about what and when things could happen this year. Until Bregman is signed by anyone else, or Pete Alonso, or anybody else that could be an added bat to this team, I think there are conversations being had that would lead to those outcomes. Don't know that that's going to be the ultimate outcome. And until we know, did they not match years? Did they not match money? Or is it simply, hey, they did all those things and the guy just didn't want to come here? Like, there's a lot of different reasons why a deal either gets done or doesn't get done, and we just don't know any of the ins and outs of it right now. We're making a lot of assumptions because we haven't heard anything from Scott Harris that would lead us to believe he's going to do something or that he's not.
What's the biggest reason someone signs with a team when they're a free agent?
Money.
Okay. So safe to say money is the thing that can solve this problem then, right?
Money makes the world go round.
Right. The Tigers, when this process saga even began, it was reported they didn't want to hand out $200 million. Fine. I don't think anybody's offering Bregman $200 million or anywhere close to $200 million. The most that we had reported was the $156 from the Astros, who are suddenly back in. I don't know that they're going to trump their offer up after watching the market crash. The market did crash, and the Tigers are in a great position to swoop in and offer a little more and get it done. And it hasn't gotten done. And I wonder if Bregman is weighing, if it's so much lower than he was hoping for, does he want opt-outs? And does he look at Houston, a ballpark that he likes, as a better spot with opt-outs? Boston, if it comes to it, with the Green Monster, could give him a chance to have a monster year, opt out, and get paid again. Comerica Park, people have pointed out, that left field is not going to be kind to Bregman. Now, I still want him here anyway because he does walk.
Yeah.
He does play defense. He does deliver doubles, and he does provide leadership, and he will still hit home runs, by the way. He's a professional hitter. He's everything this team's missing at third base, and he's available. But if he wants opt-outs, if he's so dissatisfied, or Scott Boras is so dissatisfied with the market, that opt-outs become a sticking point, I bet the Tigers would offer them. I don't know if that's enough to get it done. So maybe the only tool then is to go and say, we got the sixth year. Do you need a little cherry on top? You don't want to bid against yourself, but you also don't want to lose him, right, John?
Well, yeah, and I mean, if you're going to give, you got to get as well. So if you're going to give an opt-out after a year, then do we get an opt-out after three?
Team opt-out? Those very rarely happen.
They rarely happen, but I understand, and it's a player's market. All of those different things are the obstacles that you got to find a way to get over, but that is one of the reasons why I think they're very apprehensive, is they don't want to end up with a deal in years five or six that they're stuck with. And I get the concern, but you're going to get I still think you're going to get at least four really good years. And it doesn't mean five and six. Maybe he's not living up to the contract at that point, but I don't think you're going to see a Baez drop off.
No, and the scar tissue from Baez appears to be real. Baez was a guy who had terrible plate discipline. Bregman, that's the complete opposite. Last year, his walk rate was down, but a lot of that was a slow start. And for his career, he's a very good plate discipline guy. I don't feel like you have the same level of concern that he's going to collapse like Javi did. And even if he did age poorly, right? That's the risk when you sign guys in their 30s on these mega deals.
is it so wrong that a baseball team has to eat a bad contract for a year or two? That's kind of the world of baseball.
Well, but
if you don't want to own a baseball team, like, I'm sorry, that's what owning a baseball team is. You may have one or two deals that periodically age poorly, but when you're nowhere near the luxury tax, when you're not even fielding a league average payroll, I can't shed a single tear that you don't want to play the game.
And you also have to be able to trust the people you hire. And
right.
So if you eventually didn't trust Al Avila and you moved on from him because of the Javi deal and other things that happened while he was in charge of putting a team on the field, you've hired Scott Harris. You've got to be able to trust his evaluation.
Yes.
And what he is willing to says this player is worth this. If we want Alex Bregman, these are the numbers, and I think it's worth it. If Scott Harris is not willing to say that, that's one thing. If he is willing to say that, but not be able to be backed by those that are going to hold the purse strings, which is ownership, then why did you hire this guy to begin with?
Right. I mean, this thing ultimately comes down to just giving him one more year or two more years, right? I would guess the Tigers are wanting a four-year deal. That's just my suspicion. We're taking in all the info that we have. That would be eerily similar, by the way, to what Mike Ilitch did with Pudge Rodriguez. And I also think Bregman's at that same point of his career where you'll probably see a tail off in the last year or two. That's the thing. I don't think they want to have year five of him and what he potentially could be, because I do think his power will go
then
down.
You might not get years one, two, three, or
right.
four of him.
And that's the thing. And you're saying it's no big deal, right?
Well, it's millions of dollars, but when you're worth billions of dollars, I think that's part of the cost of doing business. You can't guarantee that every single deal is going to age to the final year of the deal. I'm sorry that there's risk involved in owning the business.
Right. And so this comes down to, really, I think they're still targeting 2027 as I know, Jim, you don't want to hear. Please, everybody, take this. This is what I think they think. This isn't necessarily. I think they should sign Bregman. I think now's the time to push. You got a defensive stalwart at a position of need. Go do it. Provide leadership and all that. All right. But the reason I still think it's all about kind of when Max Clark gets up here, Riley Green will be seasoned. We don't know if Scuba will be here or not, but that's ultimately, they're hoping this whole thing comes together and gels with all these young guys, and then they'll spend then.
Well, and you're talking about 27.
They don't want to be hampered by a contract then.
Well, then you're telling your customers, check back in 27. I mean, that's...
But they come back and tell you we made the playoffs last year.
And then you could tell them it was a once-in-a-100-year mirage. Well, it's happened once-in-a-100 years. It last happened 50 years ago. I'm just saying, like, there's a little tit-for-tat here. And, yes, Scooble might not be here in 2 years when you decide to win. And what if Clark isn't, or McGonigal isn't, or Colt Keith isn't? The idea that they're all going to pan out and be all-stars, and you can do this without ever truly landing a big fish in free agency. Tom, I got to tell you what it looks like. It's a lot of one-year deals. It looks like a lot of nickel and diming. It looks like Bregman is holding out for a little more. Why not get it done?
It all looks like Moneyball.
Yeah.
Right, it does. And I actually think other teams are doing this, by the way, with him, and that's why he's still not signed.
Yes.
I think they blew it. Wasn't it 5 and 155 from the Astros?
It was either 5 or 6 years at 156.
And I think taking less than that is a lose.
Looks bad, which is why the opt-outs enter the conversation.
And bad for Scott Boras, who lost recently in some other deals.
Yeah. Now, Chapman made up for it, and that may be the way that Bregman goes.
Here's where I can't get why the Tigers won't just do it. Defer.
Oh, defer the money.
Defer the money, like, is happening with what the Dodgers are doing with some guys and stuff. Defer money down the road.
Get creative, right?
Yes.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Nothing against Canley. That's your headline relief pitcher. And nothing against Gleyber Torres. And sure, give Federer a chance to work with Cobb, but these are all one-year deals. It doesn't feel like a team that's coming one game away from the ALCS and hitting the ground running in the offseason. Yeah. It feels like a team that's trying to cut corners and save a buck. And I don't think any fan or paying customer wants to hear that. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you and find out as much as they possibly can so that they can build a financial plan that fits your life and your situation. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. They volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
So the Lions lose two coordinators. They got a tough schedule for next season. And there's a belief that there will be a step back. How big of a step back? Well, that's a point of contention. We'll get to it. 248-539-9797. Guys, if you've been listening to the station on the Odyssey app, you're going to have a chance to win an ultimate trip to Vegas. All you have to do is listen to 97.1 The Ticket on the app for a chance to win that trip. John, we have some ticket techs on this Tigers thing just to get where people are at.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Tom. I think he's on the right track with the Tigers offseason stuff. They are continuing to do this slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Can't they front load the contract so that years 1 through 4 pay more than 5 and 6? You can do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
The player has to agree to it, but yes. And for them, like, give me more money sooner? That doesn't seem like a bad deal.
No.
Why is everyone frothing at the mouth to get Bregman to the Tigers? He can't be the pinnacle signing this offseason. It would hardly be a complimentary piece to a big signing. So it's not big enough for some people.
Okay, then who is it?
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto. All right, maybe.
It's not happening.
To me, that's a listener or fan that has Baez remorse. See, I think you nailed it, Jim, when you said you're not getting Baez. You might get a guy whose power will go down. He will provide productive at-bats, and that's what the Tigers' like DNA is.
Harris swears by it, right?
Right, and what you might see is, look, it won't be exactly, because I think he's a better athlete and defender, but when Maglio became Singlio, okay?
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to be immediate. It's going to transition over years 1 through 5.
And if he hits a home run to send you the World Series before that point, all is kind of forgiven. You know what I'm saying?
I put that on a tee.
But think about Hinch. And John said something I thought was so smart. We know Hinch likes Alex Bregman. We also know that Scott Harris likes Alex Bregman. This is a mutually reported interest.
Yeah.
If your baseball people like him, you need to get the green light to get him. And I don't know where the snag is. Maybe Harris is very firm in what he thinks the player's worth and doesn't want to go above what he considers fair. Or maybe it's his boss that says, I won't give you the extra dollar to do it. To be fair, we don't know the answer to that. But it feels so silly in the grand scheme of things. This team is nowhere near the luxury tax. There's no penalty. There's reward. You get to add good baseball players to a team that made the playoffs. This is supposed to be fun. We're all supposed to be looking at this and trying to make the Tigers better. And instead, it's a lot of one-year deals that should help, but a lot of small deals and nothing really big.
And here's where we're left wondering if Scott Harris is drawing a line in the sand that says, you know, 5 years at 160, and they come back and say, well, 165 is going to get it done. He said, no, I went from 55 to 60. Like, I understand that you can't just always continue to inch forward, but what is there a hard line?
Yeah.
And over 5 years, that's $1 million a year. You look at it and you're like, what's the big deal? That's where I get lost into, there is no salary cap. So it's not like bringing in a quarterback and saying, well, you know, there's a big difference between 51 a year and 52 a year, because you only have 53 on a roster and you've got to divide it up however you see fit. That's an impact.
You know, though, I truly believe Scott Boras screwed this up for Alex Bregman. I think he leaked the Houston numbers. I don't think Houston would have done it and got that out there, because that's what's hurting everything here. Alex Bregman and Scott Boras lose in the public domain if he takes less than that.
Yeah, and I think if I'm Scott Harris, to actually stick up for Scott here, I'm going to say that number, that's the number that, like, you're not getting more than that number, right? You turned down that number. No one beat that number in December. I'm not going to race over that number right now, right?
Has anybody ever heard from Bregman to know, does he, you know, is he only using, and him and Scott Boras, only using Detroit to get more money out of Houston, or to get, you know, like, does he actually want to come here, or is it
leverage?
Is it just, no, I don't want to go to Detroit?
I think the markets that's developed in the last week is them doing that, because they're opposite. Not getting what they want from Detroit.
Yeah, like I listened to a video from John Heyman yesterday, and he's talking up the Cubs, and I'm like, what? Okay, where is this coming from? It was the Blue Jays, and now the Blue Jays aren't. It was the Red Sox, but now they're only offering 4 years, if you believe the reports. It kind of feels like everybody's getting propped up to try to force a market for Bregman. And maybe the Tigers are sitting here going, we have the highest and best. We're going to grind you down. And that's fine, but it just better result in him ending up here. Because that's my fear, is all it takes is one team to say, we'll give you the opt-outs. We're a more hitter-friendly ballpark. We'll give you a crack at this next year. And the Tigers don't add the player we all want them to add. Because they were too stubborn.
And the Astros win in this all day long because the hometown guy, the World Series, one of the heroes on the team. I mean, think about that from our championship teams.
Yeah.
They look like they gave him the best offer.
And, think
and
about
he
this.
Didn't take it.
And how about this? Altuve has come out and said, I'll move to the outfield so we can keep Alex Bregman. So, I mean, they really, they're laying it on thick. Anyway, Ticket Texter says, how many crazy puffs do we have to buy to get the fifth year? Give me a number. Chris, Scott, give me a number.
Would you buy some Crazy Puffs if it meant anything?
I like Crazy Puffs.
I do, too.
I'm not ashamed to admit it. They're good.
I don't even know what a Crazy Puff is.
Oh, they're the little like pizza puffs that Little Caesars made this last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you can get
yeah.
them with pepperoni or with cheese. They're very good.
That's what I want them to rename a plane if they get a new one.
The Crazy Puff?
Crazy Puff 1.
Can we get... like a,
I'm sorry.
You got my head spinning now. I'm going to put a Crazy Puff on the jersey, like a Bregman jersey with the Crazy Puff on it.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Make it happen.
We'll put Crazy Puffs on 97.1 wearables. No, we won't. I'm kidding.
No, I don't so think we. The Odyssey store.
There you go. 248-539-9797. We just wait for this update. I think everybody wants this team to get a lot better. They're already very good. Get a lot better.
And it just feels like at this point, too, like the offseason is dragging on. February 12 is when pitchers and catchers report. February 17 is when everybody else reports. And this doesn't have to be done. And last year, we saw guys get into spring training before they were signed. We saw guys get into the regular season before they were signed. So I just caution everybody, while we want this done and we want it done now, it could still get done. It's just we're out of patience as a fan base. We're also out of patience in the offseason.
All right, with the Lions, let's set this up for the 9 o'clock hour. We want your participation on this. I host a podcast with Valeni, Cash the Ticket, and at the end of yesterday's episode, we had someone send in a question about the outlook for the Lions, and he and I viewed it very differently. At one point, he said, if you offered me 11 wins for next year, I would take it right now. He views losing two coordinators as significant. I looked at it and said, why would I settle for 11 wins? Sure, they could take a step back from 15. That could be 14, 13, 12. They've won 12 plus the last two seasons. I told him it felt kind of doomy. Well, it wouldn't go full doom and gloom. 11 wins is still a hell of a season, but it feels kind of doomy to say next year will be the worst.
Of the three?
Yeah, and I feel like while they lose Ben Johnson, Dan Campbell steps up, and he has been super involved in this offense. You said this is his offense. I agreed with you. I think their offense... maybe not number one, could still be two, three, four, a top five offense. They still
paired
have
with a top 10 defense.
That's the key. That's the key is the defensive personnel gets healthy. So I'm thinking, yeah, all right, maybe they don't win 15 games, but I'm not settling for 11. So let's throw it out to you guys. And John, I'm curious where you stand on this. Would you take 11 wins next year for the Lions if offered today? This is before free agency, before the draft, before a brutal road schedule next year. It's 97-1.